Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
As you're all aware, or most of you are, Jane and I took 6 weeks out and we got back just over a week ago. A bit of a kind of sabbatical stroke, kind of celebration of birthdays, wedding anniversaries and all of that kind of thing. So I'm not going to go into a lot of stuff this morning. We're going to come to more of that in the autumn in terms of what God's saying and how we're going to move forward. But it was a significant, just to say a couple of things, it was a significant time for us personally. It's not often that you get 6 weeks to take, you know, where you've got space like that to pray, to spend time kind of hearing God and reading, as well as just taking time out to relax and chill out and everything. So we really appreciated the time to be away. The first 10 days of it was in Israel, and the other 4.5 weeks of the time was in America. And the first 10 days in Israel wasn't really kind of downtime. It was more going to certain things, meeting people, some that we knew, some that we'd never met. And to cut a very long story short, God spoke to us last autumn that we needed to spend the first part of the 6 weeks in Israel and not the whole time in the States that we were thinking of doing. And during the time in Israel, God really spoke to us about some of the things that he's already said to us as Kingdom Faith. And we've had a prophetic word over who we are in regards to Israel, to be a lead boat in the UK, to bring a biblical understanding of God's purposes to Israel. And there's certain things we've done in the light of that, and there's certain things we've understood in the light of that. And God was speaking to Jane and I while we were there about what that really means, or the next step of that, and what we need to be doing, whether that's us in terms of our part in particular, Jane and I, but also corporately what that means for us. And again, we'll come to that in the autumn in terms of what that's going to look like. But God spoke some things to us that then when we were in the States and one or two other churches that we visited, it was just God, really, that we met certain people in different places that confirmed, not because they were speaking prophetically, but just by some of the things they said in our conversations, were exactly what God had been saying to us when we were in Israel. And some of the things that one or two churches are doing in relation to Israel or their heart for Israel and the Jewish people, God had been speaking to us. And so it was like sort of confirmation, if you like. And in terms of going forward, in terms of what God's doing globally, Israel's going to come more and more to the fore in terms of what God is doing and the Jewish people and how God reaches the Jewish people and how many are going to end up back in Israel. And there's a whole kind of story and picture to that biblically. But God's revival purposes in these days and in the years to come are intrinsically linked with Israel, the Jewish people, and what God does with them. And it's not just a Gentile revival, if I can put it that way, or a Western revival, or something that we just want to happen in the church. There's something God is... This, you know as well as I do, things are changing rapidly. Stuff is going on in the world. There's a lot of things happening that are very anti-God in terms of the spirit of the world and the way things are changing, laws that are being passed in, culture that is changing, society mindsets are kind of transitioning from one thing to the next to the next. And in the context of all that, God is speaking, God is working, God is outworking his plan of salvation. Light and dark are to become even more black and white and obvious in that sense. And some of what I want to share this morning is more linked with that in terms of what kind of spirit has God put in us as believers, okay? And what does that mean? What does that look like? And in the days ahead, in the days coming, we increasingly are going to need to know who God is, and we need to live according to the different spirit that we'll come to that God has placed in our lives. And what does that really mean? And I think that the days are coming, and probably already are here, where if you say you're a Christian and what that really means, and to walk as one is going to become more challenging. It's going to become more of a definite decision of heart and will to believe what we believe, to speak what we believe, and to live what we believe in a culture and a society that is rapidly going in the opposite direction. To say all that, we're believing for God to transform something, right? So it's not just, you know, light's that way and dark's that way and never the two shall meet. The enemy has a plan. His plan is to thwart God's purposes, is to stop the people of God moving in the truth and the light of who we are in him, and to see many lives transformed, communities impacted, nations changed, and all that kind of stuff. The enemy has a completely opposite plan to the things of God. But we know that God's plan of salvation is greater than the enemy's plans and tactics. We've got to remember that the devil is a created being. He was once the, you know, a worshiper in heaven, but as soon as he rebelled and put himself in front of God, as if like lightning, he was out of heaven. Like the twink of an eye, like lightning, he was gone. He's a created being. So we just want to keep things to perspective. We serve the Almighty Living God. Amen. And God always has the last word, always has the last word, because his word is eternal and it will always accomplish everything it has been sent to do. So no matter what the enemy seeks to do, what he seeks to sow into society, into lives across the world, we know that we don't have to fear, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to worry, because we know that we're in relationship with the one who is the creator, the orchestrator. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. We know he's in charge. But at the same time, to live and to walk in the days that we're in, we need to know who he is. We need to know what his word says so that we can walk with him and walk in his ways and be the light and be the witness that he wants us to be in the world. There might be voices that are very loud out there, but there are many people out there that don't have a voice or don't think they have a voice or actually think very differently than the very loud negative voices that are out there. There are a lot of people that don't know Jesus that don't all think in the same way as the loud voices that are trying to influence and infiltrate everything. There are people out there that still have a moral conscience. Some are saved, some are not saved. There are many people out there that don't know Jesus that still have a moral compass or something that says in them, inherently on the inside of them, a lot of this that's going on, I don't like it and I don't think it's right, but they don't have an anchor, they don't have a plumb line by which they live by or can believe by that can actually then see a change to the way society is going and what could possibly happen if people believe. Are you with me this morning? Okay. And so I just want to share a few things, a few thoughts. And I believe we need to respond this morning in a way that's appropriate to the word. Now, many of you will know the story in Numbers 13 and 14, where the Israelites have come out of Egypt. They came out of slavery. God led them out. And they were on the edge of Canaan, the promised land, just within a few days of leaving Egypt. Okay, and they had the opportunity at that moment to step into the promised land. And at the beginning of chapter 13 of Numbers, God says to Moses, send 12 spies, 12 people into the land to have a look, to check out the land of Canaan, to spy it out. And he said, I want you to send one person from each tribe. And he said, send one leader from each tribe and to go and have a look and check out the geography, check out the places, check out the people, and check out the fruitfulness. There were four things there that God said to go and have a look at and check out and then bring a report back, okay? So 12 leaders, it says there at the beginning of Numbers 13, were sent in. And they were to go in for 40 days, okay? Now, at the end of 40 days, they came back to Moses, the leaders, and all of the Israelites to give a report of what they saw and what they discovered during that trip. Now, when they came out, they had a big pole. They had a huge cluster of grapes. They brought some other fruit to basically say, look, this is the fruit of the land. And when they first came back, when they first came out, from the land, and they gave a report. They basically said, truly it is a land of milk and honey, and look at some of the fruit that we have brought back. So the first couple of sentences sounded promising, sounded good. But then there was one little word that then divided the report of, we've been in the land, it really is as God has said it is, but there was a little three-letter word that then separated that initial bit of communication to then how they then communicated what they saw. And that word was but, B-U-T, okay? Now, for 10 of them, there was a separation between it really is what God said and then the way they reported what they saw. Because the way they reported what they saw was not in relation to what God said. God said, he said, go up into the land, spy out to the land of Canaan that I'm giving you, the Israelites. So God spoke very clearly. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. Go up, check it out, and then I'm going to lead you in it so that you can go and possess it. But 10 of them forgot the word of the Lord or didn't initially heard it. But when they saw the facts, they saw the circumstances, they saw the reality, they came back. And between the, it really is as God said, but there's giants in the land, but the cities are fortified, but this, but that, but the other. And at that moment, there was a separation between what God said and what they saw and therefore believed and therefore spoke. But out of that 12, if you know the story, there were two others, Caleb and Joshua, in that moment who spoke up as that report was given. Now, they could have given the same report without the word but in there. Imagine they'd come back and said it like this. We've been up there. It really is as God said. It is milk and honey. Look at the fruit. Look at what we brought back. There are fortified cities. There are giants in the land. There are lots of stuff there. But God has said we can go up and take it. So let's go, everybody. Now, if there'd been no but in there, you could have still given the same report because it wouldn't have come with something of unbelief or a negativity or looking at the facts. They would have still said, yeah, there's giants, there's this, there's that, but that's okay. Now, 10 of them had the but two of them saw it differently. Two of them could have given the report. It's milk and honey. It's this, that, and the other. There are giants. It is fortified. It is this, that, and the other, but God has said it. So come on, guys, let's go. Now, two of them, because they believe God, had a different spirit than the ones that heard it, but then the circumstances and the facts robbed them of what God said, and then they went into unbelief. Why? Because fear took hold of them, or whatever they saw began to grab them in their hearts, and they saw themselves in relation to the facts rather than seeing God, themselves in relation to God and the situation. So it talked about in Numbers 14, after Caleb kind of tried to silence everybody and shut them down and say, hey, guys, wait a minute. What you're saying is fine, but the spirit by which you're saying it is not fine. Because the spirit by which you're now communicating what we saw is with unbelief. I agree. Yes, there's giants. Yes, there's fortified cities. But I'm going to put a but in there now that is opposite than the one you put in. But because God said something, that's what we're going to go with. That's what we're going to believe. And so Caleb and Joshua, they had this different spirit on the inside of them because they believed God when the circumstances and the facts said something else. What they saw said something else. There was something stronger going on the inside of them. The Bible calls it a different spirit. And in Numbers 14, when God says to Moses, look, the whole generation that have been here so far as Israelites, everybody over 20, they're not going to go in because they didn't believe. They grumbled and moaned. If you look at the beginning of end of 13, beginning of 14 and everything. And he said, everybody under 20 is going to go in, but also Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they have a different spirit. So, question this morning, is just being a Christian going to be enough for the days ahead? Is just saying, well, I believe God, I know, I can quote this, quote that, quote the other. What does it really mean to be a Christian? It means somebody who is like Christ, somebody who follows Christ, somebody who is Christ-like in their nature and character. Let's translate the word Christian for believer. Now, we can describe believer in two ways. We can say, I'm a believer because I believe in God. I'm a believer. You know, I believe in God. I believe who he is. I'd say I'm a believer. But then there come moments in our lives where things happen and we would say, well, I'm a believer because I believe in God. But in these moments, do I believe? Or what do I believe? Now, we would know what we believe because we might know the Bible. But there's a difference between knowing what you believe and living what you believe. What we live is actually what we really believe. Are you with me? So what did faith do for these guys in that moment? When they had the noise of the ten saying, but this is not possible. It then had the ear of the people that then all started saying, woe is us, and all the negativity that started coming out. At that moment, Joshua and Caleb had to silence the crowd. See, what is one of the things that faith does? Faith defies the facts. Faith defies the facts. The facts say one thing, but faith says another. So, okay, that was their situation. Now, we live in a culture, we live in a world that is influenced heavily by the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? The spirit of the world is greed, it's lust, it's anger, it's rage, it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's resentment, it's abuse. It's you know, many, many things we could say are the spirit of the world. And we can see that the spirit of the world is influencing culture, influencing people, influencing communities, influencing people's lives, influencing the way we're thinking as a society. What is becoming acceptable now was not acceptable 5 years ago. What was acceptable, you know, and we can go back and back over various things that are going on these days in terms of morality, what's becoming acceptable and what isn't, and the general norm of a mindset that's beginning to take root in a generation that are growing up now, where something like same-sex marriage, for example, is not even a conversation for a lot of young people that are growing up now. Well, where it's just normal. It's not even a debate. It's not even an issue. It's just, well, it's the way things are. So what we tolerate in one generation, or what we allow in one generation, becomes the normal in the next one. And what is normal for them, and then things change then, it then becomes even more normal as each thing degrades from there onwards. You might think, Clive, where's the faith in what you're talking about this morning? What's going on? We live in a land that has a certain culture, that looks like fortified cities, that looks like giants, that looks like the opposite to what we believe God is saying, the opposite to what we know is true. If I ask those of you in the room here that you're Christians, you're believers, you know God, you've got a relationship with God. If I said to you, you know, how do you know God is real? How do you know he's real? Now, you might say to me, well, because he's done this, he's done that, he's done the other. But on the inside of you, although you haven't seen him, on the inside, you know God is real, although you've never seen him. But on the inside, I know God is real. Now, some of that is because you know what has happened in your life. When you responded to him and you asked him to forgive you, when you first gave your life to him, you first surrendered your life to him and you came to him and you said, Father, I surrender everything to you. I ask you to forgive me for this, for this, for this, for this. Guilt left you. Shame left you. Fear left you. Worry left you. The heaviness of stuff, of life, was lifted off you. You knew something changed at that moment and you were forgiven. Anybody had that? Was it only me? All right? And you know the reality of God. On the inside, you don't need to be convinced by anybody that he's real, because God is real. That's not even a, you know. So you have faith at work in you because you know. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit in the context of their own people. So Joshua and Caleb were in relationship with all the guys they went into. So they were all from the tribe. So they were all, if you like, they were all brothers, okay, in that sense, all related. And it's interesting when they came, they went in agreement. They went in together. God has said, and then Moses has told us that God has told us to go in and check it out and come back with a report. So they went in together in unity, but they came out in disunity. The only guys that stayed in a place of agreement and unity were the ones that believed God. And so relationship alone, whether blood relationship or a natural friendship, will not be strong enough and enough to stand in the days ahead. Because there'll be things that take place, whether personally or going on in society, that will challenge what we believe more so than now. We still have, we're still free to kind of speak and preach in this nation. I mean, there are a few interesting things going on where they're arresting people on the street for preaching the gospel and things like that. So there's things going on in our nation already that are like, well, hang on a minute. Isn't the backdrop of our nation, you know, Christianity and all that kind of stuff. But yet, people are getting arrested on the street, or they're being told you're not allowed to preach because you're upset and offending people and all that kind of thing. So we're living in a day like that, but it's still, you know, we're still free to believe, communicate and all that kind of stuff that we do. But the 12 came out. Only two of them stayed in unity and in agreement together. And it was the two that believed. So faith, agreement, believing what God said is going to be essential going forward to enable us to keep the unity of the faith that it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. So Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold ministry, training and equipping the saints for the work of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up, you know, to reach the unity in the faith. So there's a unity of faith that we have by hearing what God says. Because what God says always reflects his nature and character. So when God speaks, he releases faith in us to believe who he is, to show us who he is, what he's saying, so that we can line our lives up, our thinking, our attitudes, our hearts, our wills with him and his word and what he wants to do, so that we stay in a place of agreement and unity, because there will be things that want to steal, kill and destroy, that want to divide Christian believers, brothers, sisters, and separate out. He wants to bring division into the church. He wants to separate the church and all that kind of stuff, which there's already enough of going on anyway. That's been going on for years. But God, the devil wants to go to another level of division, destruction in the life of the church, because he knows things are ramping up at this time as well. And so being a believer and staying clean and living clean with God, before God and with one another is going to be essential going forward. Now, we already see that the spirit of the world, as we've already said, that is all kinds of things: unbelief, fear, greed, lust, anger, rage, pride, arrogance, bitterness, selfishness, unforgiveness, and many other things. The enemy affects the church in those ways. So we already have a number of churches, even in the UK, that are embracing same-sex marriage, saying it's okay. We've got to keep up with the culture, keep up with the times. And so, you know, we don't want to upset and offend people, okay? This is not about being soapbox Christians and telling people who's right and wrong. This is that we're in days already where church leaders are making decisions. Am I as a leader, and therefore the church I lead, or the network I'm in, or the denomination I'm part of, am I actually going to stand on the authority of God's word and believe what this word says? Or am I going to bow to the pressure of culture and society and what people want out there that then affects and changes laws? Lots of people think that laws change and therefore things change as a result. No, it's the way that we live as mankind that then puts pressure on the political world that then changes the laws to fit in with the way that we all live. That's the way it works. If there was no pressure to have same-sex marriage legalized, we wouldn't have same-sex marriage. It would never have happened. It's because people want to live in a certain way, have certain things, and therefore they then begin a machine of pressure or whatever, to the point where thinking begins to change, begins to influence everybody. Then the conversations begin to happen based on, you know, people's human rights, based on being a culture of tolerance and all the stuff that we've had over the last few years that's been building and building, that's only going in that direction more and more and more. Are you all right? Are you here this morning? So therefore, in our lives personally, and therefore corporately as believers, as a church, it's a daily choice and decision to say, I want to live according to your word, Lord. I want to live according to your truth. I want to live according to your ways. There's a storm brewing. There is a storm brewing. There's a storm brewing. The question is, how do we walk through the storm? Not, please, Lord, take it away, because there's a storm brewing. There's the kingdom of God, and there's, I don't want to call it a kingdom, but you got the enemy's kind of the realm of darkness, or whatever you want to call it, kingdom of darkness, you know, is doing his thing. There's a storm brewing. And our own personal opinions don't matter in the storm. It's only what God says that matters in the storm. It's only God's word that enables a spiritual backbone to go down on the inside of our lives that is going to enable us to stand in the days ahead. So what does faith do? Faith gives you boldness and courage, because faith is a conviction. You know, when you've heard God say something to you, You know when God speaks, it only needs two or three words, doesn't it? Or a sentence. And that's it. All of your five or six, you know, when you need to hear God on something, and you're like, well, if God says this, or if I decide that, or that, you know, and you have all these options. Well, what's the best thing? This, that, and it, well, if I do that, is it, you know? And when God speaks, all of those things seem to pale into insignificance because God has spoken. And when God speaks, it's then like, well, actually, God's spoken, so I don't have to think about these five or six options now. God's spoken. And because he's spoken, I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but as long as I respond to what he has said and I walk in that direction and make decisions in line with what he said, he'll take care of what that looks like on the way. It's called faith, isn't it? But the world operates by, if I see it, I'll believe it. But God's kingdom operates on, God speaks, then we act and respond, and then we see what he says take place. So how do you cultivate a different spirit? Believe God. That's it. What is a different spirit? Believe God. How do you believe God? By hearing what God is saying. How do you do that? By feeding on the word, by listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying through the word, by listening to what he's saying to us, and then we line up what he's saying to us with the word, don't we? It's not that we write stuff, well, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It's like, okay, but is that in line with the word? Does the word back up what the Holy Spirit's saying to you? You know, so that it's not just, well, the word says one thing and I think the Holy Spirit's saying another. The Holy Spirit will only ever say things to us that are in line with the word, right? Jane and I were listening to a message last night that the church, one of the churches we visited in the States, they've got a series going on. And I just listened to, because the start of it was like, wow, that was, interesting. And in the guy's message last night, he said a couple of things that were in relation to what's going on in our society. In Canada recently, there was a couple who have just had a baby, and this couple themselves say they're non-binary, as in they don't recognise themselves as having any particular sex. They're non-binary. They're not male or female. We're non-binary. And when their child was born, what they said is, we, on the child's birth certificate or medical card, whatever they call it there, we don't want male or female. We don't want anything written on there. When the child's old enough, we want them to be allowed to make the decision as to what they are when they're old enough. So there's nothing on that child's medical record to say what they are or not they are. They're waiting until that child grows up, and then the child's going to be asked, how do you describe yourself? Now, it's the first medical card or birth certificate anywhere in the world like that. It's the first one. That was recently in Canada, okay? Then a bill was passed recently in Canada, okay? This is reported in the Christian Post. If you go on their website, you can find it and stuff. But this was recently passed in Canada as well, okay? That because of the gender kind of conversations that are going on at the moment, okay, this is what's been passed in a certain state. I don't know if it's across the whole of Canada, but in where did I write it down? On New Ontario, okay? It's called Bill 89. And this is what was written, okay? That if the parents or the carers of a child do not allow the child to choose which gender, if any, they want to be, then the state have the right to remove the child from the parents or from the carers. And they've even said in their statements that it will be classified under the context of child abuse if they don't let their child make that decision. Now, that's something that's been passed in Canada recently. It's like, wow. That's a reality that's going on at this moment. And there's probably going to be all sorts of things over however long. Now, I know your response is the same as ours. We're like, wow, that's unreal. Maybe 5 years ago, there was conversations of, wow, that's unreal, that are now completely acceptable. So what are we talking about this morning? We know from what the Bible says, it talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter verse 4, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. So we see that the enemy has done that in the world, but then also in 2 Timothy 4, Paul writing to Timothy, one of the guys he was training up, developing, one of his sons in the faith. Listen to what he says here, how it influences the church. He says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience." Listen to that. When there's something going on that is not right, he does say correct, rebuke and encourage, but he says with great patience. Not with an attitude, not from a soapbox mentality, but with great patience, with a good attitude and careful instruction. Yeah. So it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, the wisdom as well. But then what he says, "For the time will come," verse 3, "when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry." So the spirit of the world affects the world, but it also is affecting the church. We need the Holy Spirit, right? Not to bless our plans or to get on the side that we think because of culture, you know, is right now in the church and we should embrace this, that and the other. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work in His church. So no matter what any other church does, we as Kingdom Faith, we want to live according to the Word of God, right? We want the Holy Spirit to be the one that leads and guides our life, not the culture, not peer pressure. What does that different spirit also do? It enables you to stand up under peer pressure. The peer pressure for Caleb and Joshua in that moment, I mean, not even Moses and Aaron, who were the leaders, stood up and shut the crowd down at that moment. It was just those two young guys that went in. They were the only ones that raised their voice. Oi, 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 hang on a minute. God has said this, we can go in. So in the context of the peer pressure from the tribes and their families and their relations, even in the peer pressure of that moment, they stood up and say, no, 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 no. God has said. Amen. God has said. That's what I'm believing. That's what I want to live and act according to, what God has said, not anything else. So what does this different spirit do? This spirit of faith that it speaks about, again, in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians 4, where it talks about the God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. In verse 13, it says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So we have a spirit of faith that is at work on the inside of us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. How do we develop that spirit of faith? By believing what God said, by reading what the Word says, by asking the Holy Spirit to highlight the Word, to bring it alive to us so that that different spirit, that spirit of faith rises up on the inside of us so that we have a deep conviction on the inside of us that this is what the Word says, this is what the truth is. Because we're going to need this more and more going forward. So faith defies the facts. Faith, different spirit, enables you to stand up under peer pressure. Faith enables you to stay in unity, this different spirit in unity and oneness together. You know, you can be walking with somebody spiritually and there's real agreement. And then there can be a moment, and many of you have probably had this. I know we have in our lives, I have. You know, and something happens, somebody comes and has a conversation with you, and suddenly at that moment, it's like, something's got in there. They're beginning to believe something now that actually is not quite right. And you begin to sense, and in that moment, you have a conversation, and if there isn't a recognition of that, something begins to get in between you in that relationship. Something begins to bring a little bit of separation in there because you don't see eye to eye, heart to heart any longer. There's something they've begun to believe, either because they think they've heard God in some way about something, or they're beginning to believe something that's not quite right. And in a short period of time, suddenly that relationship begins to separate. And the issue is over something that God is saying. So friendship alone isn't going to do it. So what do we have to do? We have to constantly surrender our thinking, our understanding, our attitudes, our hearts, our motives, our desires, what we want, what we like, all of that to the Word. Let's stand together. We need to pray, respond, and also we're going to have communion together over the next few minutes. We didn't get onto this, but having a different spirit affects the way you share the gospel. You know, because as soon as we talk about sharing our faith, different things happen in different ones of us. Sometimes fear rises up. Well, what are people going to think? Or will they reject me? Or I don't know what to say. Unbelief can kind of rise up at that moment. When we talk about, you know, let's reach people, friends, neighbours, work colleagues, whoever it is, and it's very easy for things to rise up on the inside. But, you know, that different spirit on the inside of us enables boldness and courage. Because a different spirit, the spirit of faith, is stronger than fear. It's stronger than unbelief, because faith overcomes unbelief. When you hear God speak to you, the unbelief dissipates because God has released His faith, His Word, His truth into you. Now you believe that and not something else. We haven't got time to get on to that. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. Firstly, just thank the Lord for what He's saved you out of. Just thank the Lord for what He's done in your life up to this moment. You know what you've been forgiven from. You know what He has set you free from. You know how He has healed you in different ways, whether mentally, physically, emotionally. You know how He's restored friendships. Maybe your marriage has been completely transformed since knowing Him. The way you are with your children is completely different. You know how your life's been since you've been walking with Him and just things have happened. And you know, wow, I've been so blessed. Not that that is the marker of what God is doing. Because also when we read through the New Testament, there's a lot of opposition that happens to those that walk with God. We live in quite a sanitized Christianity in the Western world. at this moment. It's quite safe. We don't live in some environments that others live, where to be a believer every day is you're facing potential death or getting beaten up or something. It's still pretty safe here, which is probably part of the problem with sometimes in terms of really walking with God and believing God. We've got it, you know, we have quite a comfortable lifestyle in our culture in many ways. So we can thank God for where we are, that we do have the freedom, the opportunity to share our faith, to tell other people about Jesus. Maybe some of you, when I was praying this morning, I just felt for some of the guys in the church, maybe over the last few years, the way your work life has been blessed and increased, you personally, and you've grown in your job and in your salary income and other things around you. And I just felt kind of God wanted to kind of just speak to you for a moment, encourage you that one, it's God's hand on your life that has given you some giftings and abilities and you're blessed in your work and therefore your family's blessed and all that kind of stuff. But I believe God wants you to understand that it's not yours to do what you like with. I mean, all of us need to be like that in all of our worlds and our lives with everything we have. It's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. He's allowed us to steward what we have. We want to steward it in the right way that honors him, that blesses others, and therefore then does bless us. I just believe God is saying to just some guy or even ladies, you know, you're in that situation that you might have, you know, out of the ordinary sort of ways of income or more than the usual and all that kind of stuff, that just to remind you that don't begin to dream about certain things or just look down the road and think, well, in 5 years I'll do this, 10 years we'll have that, and 20 years I'll do this, and, you know, and all of that. Just, I believe God wants you to surrender your work afresh to him and your finances and the ability that you have to make wealth or to do well in your job in some way or other. But I believe God's just saying, just to maybe check your heart and make sure there's nothing that's got in there that, like, you know, we're talking about some things with the world influence in the church in terms of some thinking and morality and all of that. Well, the same with other things, you know, that we just want to make sure that whatever we have, it is totally surrendered to him, that, Father, this is yours in that way. It's just something that I wasn't thinking about that early, but I was just praying, God, what's part of the responsible? What do you want to do today? And I just felt that was one of the things. And maybe some people in the last few years, you've had an acceleration in your work and pay rises and promotions and, you know, you've been headhunted or whatever it is. And in the natural, it's like, wow, this is great, you know. And you're blessed in that way. But I believe God's saying, just make sure it's fully surrendered. Stay submitted. Just keep it in the right place in your life. Now, you might have some facts that are shouting at you at this moment in your life. Shouting one thing. Sickness, bad report, stuff's not going the way you thought, there's just tension, all of that. I want you just to literally give it to the Lord. Father, I lay all of that at your feet right now. Father, I thank you that faith defies or overcomes the facts and the circumstances. Father, I thank you that you speak right into my life, so that I walk in this situation with faith and with a different spirit and not with worry or fear or anxiety in any way, shape or form. Father, I thank you that as you speak to me, that enables me to receive what you are saying so that I can walk in the power of that and in the good of that. So I don't walk in sickness, but I walk in health and wholeness. I don't walk in lack, but I walk in fullness and abundance. I don't walk in fear, but I walk in faith, overcoming that fear. I walk with joy and thanksgiving, not in fear. No matter what's going on, you've got facts that are saying one thing and faith says the other. Silence the sound of the crowd and let the single voice of God speak into your... because that's the voice that makes the difference. Maybe you're somebody that's quite outspoken about some things going on in society. You've got some strong opinions and everything about various moral issues, this, that and the other. It's not about having a loud opinion and a shout and a voice in that way. So if you're quite opinionated, I want you just to, you know, just surrender afresh. God, I don't just want to be a soapbox Christian. I don't want to come across like I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. I want to, what your word says, I want to... speak your word, whatever the phrases were that we used in the scripture that we used. with a right heart, with patience and careful instruction, with a good attitude, a good heart. Because it's not people that we're talking about this morning. It's about the influence of the spirit of the world has on people. And so therefore the battle we're in is a spiritual one. And the spirit of the world works through, manifests itself through people's lives. In the same way that the Holy Spirit works through our lives to reveal a different kingdom, a different spirit, the heart and the nature and the character of God through our lives. Maybe there's some, I don't know if there's any issues with people at the moment, okay? And you know, well, there's a little bit of, I'm out of sorts, and you've been walking together in unity, but there's a little bit of between somebody, whatever. Anything like that, just bring it before the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord right now. We want to walk in agreement and in unity together. Thank you, Jesus. If the service can come up to the communion tables, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you guys can just take a bit of bread where you are, just pick a piece of bread up, those of you that are there. What did Jesus say with the disciples? He took the bread and he broke it. If you guys want to break the bread, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Eat this." And then he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this, all of you." And he said, "Every time you do this, remember me." When we receive communion, when we take communion together, what are we doing? We're remembering who he is, but we're surrendering ourselves afresh to him, saying, "My life is yours. My life is centered around who you are. You are the center of my life. You're in charge, Jesus." And so when we receive communion, what we're doing, we're recognizing what he did, how his body was beaten, how he went through everything leading up to the cross, hanging on the cross, and the blood that was shed and all the things that that represents in terms of us being forgiven, us being healed, him dealing with pain and shame and dealing with mental health issues, emotional stuff, physical stuff, the power of sin, all of those things. And it's a fresh surrender to the Lord, saying, "Father, I surrender to who you are. Holy Spirit, I surrender afresh to you today. I want to live according to you, Holy Spirit, not a spirit of the world. I want to live with this different spirit, this spirit of faith in my life. I want to walk with you in the midst of the challenges of culture and society. I want to walk in your ways. I want to then be a light and a witness to those that are around me because of a good heart and a good attitude towards them, to reach out in love and compassion, grace and mercy. In the same way, Father, that you reached out to me in your mercy and you accepted me, you forgave me, and your grace is now at work in me, and I'm in the beloved," and all of those things that we talk about that we know are true. That's how we want to approach people, because that's how God approached us. So, Father, we just thank you. As we receive now, we can just surrender afresh. If you guys want to begin to pass that round, that would be great. If we could have a couple of the worship team up, that would be good. Just the next few minutes. I know we're kind of running over a bit, but that's okay this morning. Just as we surrender afresh. Once you've received communion, maybe if you've got children, you just slip out during the last couple of minutes of the meeting, just slip out and go and get your kids. But just surrender wherever you are. Surrender afresh to him. Father, I surrender everything afresh to you. My mind, my emotions, my will, my body, my heart, my spirit, my marriage, my kids, if you're married or if you've got kids, your home, your finances, just everything. Just surrender. Holy Spirit, I don't want to be contaminated by the world in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to chase after stuff. I don't want to chase after things. I don't want to chase after anything. I want to walk with you, Father. I thank you. You're the one that promotes in life. You're the one that leads me in life. You're the one that gives opportunity in life. You're the one, because you're my provider. You're my provision. If you need to receive your healing, as you receive communion, just receive your healing. The power of the blood, the power of the cross, just appropriate the power of the cross right now, wherever you are. Aches and pains, diagnosis that's been spoken over your lives. The facts say one thing, but the truth says something else. So in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every diagnosis that says you are this, you have that, or you've got this condition, and you might be like this for months or years or for the rest of your life. We just take authority over all of those things that have been spoken and declared over any of our lives right now. And we break the power of those words that have been spoken. We don't live according to those words and those announcements over those lives. Father, we thank you that we live according to your word and what you say. Maybe some of you need to say, Father, I need to hear something from you. I need to hear that word of life and truth that releases faith so that I believe what you're saying. I'm not struggling. If you're struggling in some way, just tell him, Father, I'm struggling with that circumstance. I'm struggling with this symptom. I'm struggling to believe. The best thing is be honest with him and say to him, Father, I'm struggling. I give that struggle to you right now. I thank you that you speak to me and you author and release faith to believe, to receive, and to walk in that. See the victory of who you are come right through in this situation in my life. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just thank him. You have a different spirit. You have a different spirit at work on the inside of you. You have a different spirit at work on the inside of you. And that's the one we want to live according to. That different spirit is that spirit of faith. It's the Holy Spirit at work in you. That spirit is different than the spirit of the world. And we want to make sure our spirits are not contaminated in any way, or our lives are not contaminated in any way. Father, we praise you, we exalt you. Let's just lift our hands, shall we? Just begin to lift our voices. Let's exalt him this morning. Let's praise him this morning. Let's give him adoration this morning. He rules and reigns. He's in charge. He's mighty. He's wonderful. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Oh, thank you, Father. Our lives are in your hands. We can trust you totally because you are God. You're the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you, Father. You were here long before we were ever around. You know how you're working out your plan of salvation. You brought us into the world at this time to be part of that. And we thank you that we can trust you. We can lean into you. You're our strong tower. I thank you, you're our strong tower. In every way, you're our refuge, not to hide from the world, but protect us from the influence of that as we go out in your name to be a witness, to be a light, to be a hope, and to be healing into people's lives, into the community, and wherever we're going to be this week. We thank you, Father. We praise your name that we can go out with hope. We can go out with life. We can go out to be a blessing. That we're not under the spirit of the world, but we have something going on inside us that is greater than he that is in the world. You are the one that is greater on the inside of us. Father, I thank you for a people walking with you, moving with you, seeing you at work, Father. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name. Oh, Father, we thank you. We just pray for Horsham. We pray for the towns where we live. Father, enable us to be a witness where we live, our friends, our neighbors, our workplaces. But Father, we thank you for your heart for our towns, this 25-mile radius, our nation. Father, we thank you for your heart for our nation. Father, we thank you for the promises that you have spoken over our nation. We thank you that every one of them is going to be fulfilled, the things that you have spoken over our nation. Father, we pray for the church in this nation. That we would be a pure church, a clean church, a church who live according to your word. Father, would you bring a deep conviction, especially into leaders' lives, to live according to your word, to communicate, teach, preach, declare your word with great patience, as Paul said to Timothy, and careful instruction. in the midst of our culture and our society, Father, the church would be a people of light, a people of hope. Salvation, healing, deliverance, people coming with your kingdom life into many people's lives. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We praise your name. Come on, let's exalt him this morning. Let's exalt him. Let's thank him. We praise your name. 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 Come on, let's give God a shout of praise this morning. He is Lord. He is mighty. Just to close this morning, God is not judging our nation. If he was judging our nation, we wouldn't be here now. When a nation doesn't walk with God, there are consequences. If you don't walk in the ways of God, stuff happens. Because we allow the enemy to do this, that, and the other. God is extending his hand of mercy over our nation. And therefore, we need to be merciful in the same way God has shown us mercy in our own lives. We need to show mercy to others. We have no right to judge anybody. Sometimes you need to make spiritual judgments, like discerning what's going on. That's different than judging people, pointing the finger and all of that. We're a people of mercy, grace, compassion, because that's how God has revealed himself into our lives. That's how we need to go to others in that way. So, Father, I thank you. Enable us to go with your eyes, with your heart, into this week, into everything that we're going to be doing. We thank you for Faith Camp. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing time. And, Father, we thank you. Before we get there, there's this week to live first. And you want us to be a blessing to people, to reach people, to see people impacted by you, come to know you in whatever way you want to work and move. So, Father, I thank you across all the generations of the church that we'd be a witness in every way this week. We praise your mighty name. Come on, everybody, give God a great shout of praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.